This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord, remember this day not only the men and women of goodwill, but also those of ill will. But do not remember all the suffering they have inflicted. Remember the fruits we have bought thanks to this suffering, our comradeship, our loyalty, our humility, our courage, our generosity, and the greatness of heart which has grown out of all this. And when they come to judgment, let all the fruits which we have borne be their forgiveness. Amen. Good morning. To me, a very significant yet difficult prayer. It's even more significant when you consider the context. It was found next to the body of a dead child in a German concentration camp during World War II. We have kickoff Sunday school today with our Sunday school, and the lesson that we have before us is a challenging one, especially on this day as we commemorate the events of 10 years ago today. Jesus' words are difficult to forgive. How can we forgive what transpired and happened to us? The message that we receive today is perhaps God's way of getting us to focus on what truly matters. You know, last week we had that discussion of reconciliation. Forgiveness is different than reconciliation. Forgiveness is important, and it precedes reconciliation. Sometimes reconciliation cannot happen. I tell the story of, you know, many years ago now, probably 8 years ago, at the end of the services day here, I was here at the church and encountered the man who was loading up his van with everything that wasn't bolted down here in the church and was taking it away to steal it. I climbed onto the van, thinking that as I dialed 911, it would delay him from leaving in time for the police to come. We got into a struggle of a match, and he literally threw me off the truck onto my back. And it meant more trips to the chiropractor. I was angry. I was mad. And I hung on to that, and I started to find that any stranger who came on this campus, I wasn't being nice to him. I was a captive. I was a prisoner. And I realized I needed to pray to God for forgiveness, because if I didn't, I couldn't really be a very good Christian, let alone a priest. And God gave me that gift of forgiveness for that. But there wasn't reconciliation. There could have been. Maybe someday there still will be with that man. But you know, as late as this past year, I got a letter from him in prison. And he wants me to come to his defense to get parole because he didn't do anything wrong. Reconciliation cannot happen when there is no admission of fault. But forgiveness needs to happen. Forgiveness needs to happen because forgiveness is more about me. It is more about me having the ability to move on with my life. Someone once wisely said, "When I forgive, I discover that a prisoner is set free. And boy, am I surprised to find out that that prisoner was me." When we hang on to things, they bog us down. And they don't enable us to move on to become that which we can be. And so in a real sense, that person continues to have power over me until I can forgive. This is hard. In no way do those dastardly acts that happened 10 years ago be granted any justification whatsoever. But it's about us being able to move on. You see the bumper stickers, "Never forget, never forgive." Are we going to be trapped for the rest of our lives? We need to forgive, but not forget. Just as any hurt that happens to us in our lives, God does not want that person or that event to have power over us. Now, sometimes reconciliation can happen. And because of 9/11, it's been happening in incredible ways. You see it reported on the news constantly. One that really caught my attention was the mother of Zacharias Moussaoui, one of the terrorists who is in prison for life. There's a lady by the name of Phyllis Rodriguez. Her son was in the World Trade Center and was killed. She wanted to do something. And she learned about this lady, the mother of Zacharias Moussaoui, who at the age of 14 was forced to marry at 14, lost the child when she was 15, lost the child when she was 16, and now this is what has happened with her son. The suffering of these two ladies became the vehicle for them to come together and find some incredible reconciliation. Watch this little clip that describes their journey.
I'm here, yes, in front of you. I would like to say that I have learned so much from Aisha, starting with that day we had our very first meeting with other family members, which was a very private meeting with security, because it was November 2002, and frankly, we were afraid of the super patriotism at that time, the country, family members, but we were all so nervous. Why does she want to meet us? And then she was nervous. Why did we want to meet her? What did we want from each other? Before we knew each other's names or anything, we had embraced and wept. Then we sat in a circle with support, with help from people experienced in this kind of reconciliation. And Aisha started, and she said, "I don't know if my son is guilty or innocent, but I want to tell you how sorry I am for what happened to your families. I know what it is to suffer, and I feel that if there is a crime, a person should be tried fairly and punished. But she reached out to us in that way, and it was, I like to say, it was an icebreaker, you know. And what happened then is we all told our stories, and we all connected as human beings. By the end of the afternoon, it was about 3 hours after lunch, we felt as if we'd known each other forever. Now, what I learned from her is a woman not only who could be so generous under these present circumstances and what it was then and what was being done to her son, but the life she's had. I never had met someone with such a hard life from such a totally different culture and environment from my own. And I feel that we have a special connection, which I value very much. And I think it's all about being afraid of the other, but making that step, and then realizing, hey, this wasn't so hard. Who else can I meet that I don't know or that I'm so different from? So, Aisha, do you have a couple of words to for conclusion? Because our time is up.
Je voulais dire que il faut essayer essayer de connaître l'autre.
I wanted to say that we have to try to know other people, the other.
Il faut être généreuse, généreux de cœur.
You have to be generous and
et
your heart
esprits.
Must be generous. Your mind must be generous.
Et de la tolérance.
You must be tolerant.
Il faut lutter contre la violence.
You have to fight against violence.
Et j'espère qu'un jour on va vivre ensemble dans la paix et dans le respect des uns et des autres.
And I hope that someday
voilà
we'll all live together in peace and respecting each other. This is what I wanted to say.
So what do? We remember, but we choose what we hang on to. We hang on to the stories like this, and especially we remember those countless heroes that we celebrate this day. That is what will enable us to be people of mercy and forgiveness. One special hero to me was the first person to die as a result of the attacks. Father Michael Judge, a Franciscan priest who was a chaplain to the fire department. I don't know if you recall, but one of his Franciscan friar friends was asked to do the eulogy at his funeral. I'd like to share with you some of his words. Michael Judge's body was the first one released from Ground Zero. His death certificate has the number 1 on the top, and I meditated on that fact of the thousands of people that we are going to find out who perished in that terrible Holocaust. Why was Michael Judge number 1? I think I know the reason, and I hope you'll agree with me. Michael's goal and purpose in life at that time was to bring the firemen to the point of death so they would be ready to meet their maker. There are between 200 and 300 firemen buried there. Michael Judge could not have ministered to them all. It was physically impossible in this life, but not in the next. And I think that if he were given his choice, he would prefer to have happened what actually happened. He passed through the other side of life, and now he can continue doing what he wanted to do with all his heart. In the next few weeks, we're going to have names added, names after names of people who are being brought out of that rubble, and Michael Judge is going to be on the other side of death to greet them instead of sending them there. And he's going to greet them with that big Irish smile. He's going to take them by the arm and hand and say, "Welcome, I want to take you to my Father." And so he can continue doing in death what he couldn't do in life. How many countless heroes do we remember? We forgive because we must, because it enables us to move on, and it enables us to remember in a new way. Perhaps you're aware of the cross that was found in the ruins. And that symbolic finding of the cross has become a symbol of what these events can mean for us.
I was working with the fire department all night long in that building looking for survivors. We recovered 3 bodies, and in removing the 3 bodies is what brought me to the garage level. In the midst of the center of this carnage was the cross standing proud and tall as you see it today. It brought me to my knees in tears. It revitalized me and helped me persevere through this tragedy. I look to this cross as a symbol of faith, and today I am so grateful and proud to be part of this event, that the cross is actually saved as a structure of memorial in the museum.
There is another similar cross made from the burned roof of what remained of a cathedral in Coventry, England, destroyed by the Nazi Air Force. When that cathedral was destroyed in 1940, the dean said, "When this war is over, this will become a place of forgiveness and reconciliation." And so at the end of World War II, they left the charred remains of that cathedral, and it stands across the street from the new cathedral with a huge glass wall in the narthex of the new cathedral overlooking the charred remains of the old one. All that's there is a simple altar and that cross made from the timbers of the burnt roof with two words, "Father, forgive." To this day, Coventry Cathedral remains a place of reconciliation and forgiveness. Each day at noon, they pray a prayer for forgiveness. Perhaps on this day, it should be our prayer as well. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The hatred which divides nation from nation, race from race, class from class. Father, forgive. The covetous desires of people and nations to possess what is not their own, Father, forgive. The greed which exploits the work of human hands and lays waste the earth, Father, forgive. Our envy of the welfare and happiness of others, Father, forgive. Our indifference to the plight of the imprisoned, the homeless, the refugee, Father, forgive. The lust which dishonors the bodies of men, women, and children, Father, forgive. The pride which leads to trust in ourselves and not in God, Father, forgive. So be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Amen.